One time, it's just funny. Can I tell you something funny? And you ever had something that itches, you know what I mean? And one time, my brother-in-law, he had a pen in his hand, and he had white pants. And something itched, and he itched here, and he marked up all his pants, and he showed it to him. It was so funny, because you could see all the lines, it really itched, you know what I mean? So, all right. So, stretch your hands towards me, if you would. Father, I thank you. I will say what you want me to say. I'll do what you want me to do. Thank you for a sensitivity to the Holy Spirit. Father, thank you not only for the words that are coming out of my mouth that will be anointed today, but I pray, put your hands over your ears, that Father, that the ears will hear, have a right heart to hear. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. I want to talk today about turning your Bibles to John chapter 4. And but I want to talk today about racism. I want to talk today about how do we deal with it? I mean, it is, you talk about ugly, you know. I heard T.D. Jakes talk about injustice, and to have that knee on that man's neck for as long as it was, it's so sick, so gross, so evil, so unhumane at just a foundational level. And how do we get out of this mess? Who has the answer? Can you turn me down a little bit? Who has the answer? Well, I tell you what, the Word is the answer. Christ is the answer. And to look at how he dealt with stuff would be really, really smart. Amen? Come on, y'all here today? So, some of you, South Sanctuary has spoiled us, has it not? Because South Sanctuary, we put 200 people, wrap them all around. So y'all feel close. But anyway, praise God that we have what we have. Amen. So turn to John chapter 4. And I want you to see how Jesus deals with racism. How Jesus is going to deal with, you know what? One group hating another group. And the Jews hated the Samaritans. And the Samaritans hated the Jews. 722 BC, a group of people came in and took over Israel. And when they came in, they took over Israel. You know what? They divided. Some of their people were in Israel. Some of their people were for their land. And from that, from Syria coming in and invading, you know what, Israel, there developed, you know what, the Samaritans. And Samaritans were half-breeds. And the Jews saw them that way. And they hated them for it. They saw them as lesser than. Can I just point out the obvious as we get started? You know what? In the kingdom of God, there is no lesser than. Come on, don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. In the kingdom of God, there is no lesser than. God loves all skin colors. God loves all shades of skin colors. God loves all eye colors. God loves all hair colors. Even if you do change your hair three times, you know, three colors three times a year, God loves it all. Amen. God loves bald people. Somebody say amen to that. Yeah. Well, that is my point. God doesn't love anybody more than anybody else. Everyone is loved. God loves tall people. God loves short people. God loves skinny people. And God loves not so skinny people. Come on, don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. Understand this, because God made tall people. And he made short people. And he made black people. And he made white people. And he made Hispanic people. And he made Asian people. He likes round eyes. And he likes not so round eyes. He likes straight hair. And he likes kinky hair. Amen? He just likes it all. He designed it. Amen. When I was in the kindergarten, I was into trucks and digging dirt and that kind of stuff. Well, one day, the teacher gave us some clay, and we were supposed to, you know, make some clay, something out of, you know, make something out of it. It was like, what the heck? You know what? I don't even know what to do with this. And so whatever I was doing, you know, doing something else fun, but not making the clay. And then they said, okay, you got like, you know, 2 minutes left. So all I did is I just squished the clay. Here we go. Well, then we got to paint it, which painting it was kind of cool. I liked that part. But I painted the squeaky thing, you know what I mean? And then they put it in the oven. How many remember this stuff? Put it in the oven. Here you go. We got it back. And I got what back? It was nothing. It was throw it away. You know what I mean? It's so stupid. Years and 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 years later, I'm at Grandpa Walt's house. And I walk by, and he's got this computer room. Remember the computer room? And on that computer room, there was a shelf. And guess what was on that shelf? Amen. And I looked at that and I said, man, that looks good. See, God made us and he loves every single one of us. And no one is more special than someone else. No one is more special. We are all special. I thank God for this church. When we took over this church, the people before us had a heritage of diversity. And Tamara and I have been able to build on that heritage. And I'm not saying that we're a perfect church. I'm not saying that there's not things that we can work on. But I thank God for the heritage of celebrating the diverse cultures that we have, the diverse people groups that we have, the diverse languages that we have, the diverseness that we have, and I thank God for it. Have you found your place in John chapter 4 yet? John chapter 4. And look at verse 4, starting with verse 4. He says, John says, but he needed to go through Samaria. Needed. Somebody say needed to go through Samaria. If you look at a map of where Jesus was and where he was going, you know what? He was in the south and he was going to the north, and right in the middle was Samaria. But most Jews would walk around Samaria. And it took them a lot longer to walk around, but they'd walk around anyway. Why? Because Jews had nothing to do with the Samaritans. But he must go because he's got some racial divisions that he's going to tear down. And I believe that he's not only tearing them down, that I believe with all scripture, not only was it for those people in that day, but it's for us today, that God knew that we were going to read this, that we were going to learn from it, that Jesus has got some racial stuff to tear down today. And so he must go there, and he's going, and he, you know what, when he gets there, he finds a certain place. Somebody say a certain place. Look at verse 5. So he came to the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now, Jacob's well was there. Interesting how there is so much detail talk about Jacob's well. Why is John going in describing all this and what's going on? Well, let me tell you about the Samaritans. The Samaritans held the truth of the first five books of the Bible. They said that was accurate and that was part of their heritage. Well, interesting, so did the Jews. See, the Jews hated the Samaritans, and the Samaritans hated the Jews, but the Jews loved Jacob, and the Samaritans loved Jacob. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes Satan tries to get us to focus on so many things that are different when we should focus on things that are the same and celebrate our differences. So he goes and he finds this place, this certain well. And then verse 7, a woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. We're going to talk about that in a minute. Look at verse 9. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman, for the Jews have nothing to do with the Samaritans." Nothing to do with the Samaritan. These Jews don't even show up around. Not only you around, but you want a drink of water. You don't have anything to drink from. You are willing to put your Jewish lips on my Samaritan cup. Amen. And Jesus is going to break some walls down that day because of his willingness to not judge someone based on what somebody else said about that person or about what they, you know what, a preconceived notion. Well, you know what, all those people are like this. All those people are like that. Jesus is just going to connect with this lady and be willing to talk to her and be willing to drink water from her cup. And that is impressive. Amen. To this lady. Can I tell you what? Notice this. At this point, had Jesus talked any theology to her up at this point? Not a lick. Amen. But you know what Jesus recognizes is the importance of being nice. All this lady knows is this is a nice man who's willing to talk to me. I don't authorize the viewing or support the viewing of almost any movie ever made from now on. Because they're so full of so much junk. But this movie I endorse, okay? And it is, it's a beautiful day in the neighborhood. How many seen that movie? Oh, that's so good. How many didn't see this movie? Okay, I got a special treat for you. Fathers, go home. You don't have to do it today, but this is a good movie. And I won't spoil the movie, but I will tell you this much. What's it about? It's about, who's it about?
Mr.
Robert. What did you say his name?
Mr. Rogers.
And Mr. Rogers, I told you I was into trucks. I didn't watch Mr. Rogers very much. Okay. But Mr. Rogers, it's about the story and, this author, he's, writes for newspapers and he's given an assignment to interview Mr. Rogers and write an article about him. Well, this guy is kind of negative. He's kind of had some issues with his dad and stuff. And after he interviews you with you, it's only a period of time. Wow, are we outside or what? Is that somebody's phone? Could you turn? What? It's a bird. Take care of that before next week. Could you do that? All right, but focus on me. Okay, Mr. Rogers. So this guy, and so he interviews people, and sure enough, he kind of is negative, kind of rips on him, and he's probably going to do the same with Mr. Rogers, but Mr. Rogers walks in love, and Mr. Rogers connects to people. Mr. Rogers really cares about people, and he's authentic. And shows the love of God to people. You want to break sound down some walls? Act like Jesus around people. You're going to break down some walls. How do we lead people who don't know the Christ? How do we do that? It's the love of God that leads people to repentance. And as much as this guy wants to just blow Mr. Rogers off, he keeps on being just attracted to him. And Mr. Rogers, we're going to see it in a minute. Mr. Rogers, because of relationship, one of my friends said, all ministry comes out of relationship. People don't want to care about how much you know till they know how much you care. Yeah, Pastor wrote a book, and he wrote this book, and he started noticing that what he started doing is acting to the community like a Christian. And he would sign people up to come on Saturday and bring their rakes and bring their shovels and bring their paint buckets and bring their toolboxes. And they'd go around the neighborhood and they would ask, can we wash your car? Can we rake your leaves? Is there a fence? This fence needs to be fixed. Can we fix your fence? And over a short period of time, the pastor started noticing that some of these people started saying, to the people with the rakes and the shovels and the hoses and the scrub brushes and the screwdrivers and the hammers, started saying to them, hey, what's the name of your church? Hey, what time do you have service on Sunday? See, how many walls could we break down? Stereotypes could we break down? If instead of having preconceived notions of people, we just started being real to people. Jesus is willing to drink from her cup. A Samaritan woman, where the Jews would have nothing to do with those people. Look at verse 13. Jesus answered and said to her, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I will give you will never thirst, but the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up an everlasting water. Look at verse 15. The woman said to her, sir, give me this water that I might not thirst, nor come here to draw. Look at verse 16. 16, Jesus said to her, go call your husband and come here. Oh. Did you see the transition?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you want some water? Hey, call your husband. Look what happens. You know what? The woman, verse 17, the woman said, I have no husband. Jesus said to you, you have said, well, I have no husband. For you have five husbands, and the one who you have is not your husband, in that you spoke truly. Well, you're not moral, but at least you're speaking the truth. You know, what was going on? You know, she was singing, you know what, me and Mrs. Jones, Mrs. Jones, Mrs. Jones, Mrs. Jones. See, you know, they had a thing going on. Right? That's something going on. How in the world? And here's what I want you to notice. He confronts her straightforward with her immorality. And she doesn't walk away. In this movie, you know what? Mr. Rogers keeps on dealing with his anger issue. And this one scene is so funny. He's doing it through this puppet. And he's asking him these questions through the puppet. And the guy's starting to answer the questions through the puppet. Here's what I'm saying, guys. If we would be real with people, if we would just love Christ like Christ has loved us, people would start to see our genuineness, and it opens people up for you to tell them, hey, what's the real issue in your life? This is the issue. And instead of walking away, they don't walk away. They'll listen to you. They'll listen to you. Why? Because they see the love of Christ. They see what's going on. Look at verse 19. The woman said to her, sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Man, hey, aren't you glad that we can walk in the Spirit? Amen. Aren't you glad that we can say, hey, fathers, aren't you glad? I don't know who this is for. Aren't you glad that your pastor doesn't do some generic prayer that isn't Spirit-led? But prophetically says, hey, I sense there's something going on with some fathers that are standing up. And you say, oh my goodness, pastor talking about me. How does he know? Well, how many know the Spirit of the Lord can tell us things? And the Spirit of the Lord is ministering to Jesus, and he is going to prophetically say, you know what? You already know what's going on. And let me tell you what's going on, lady. You thinking you're going to, that some man is going to complete you, and that's why you're going from man to man to man to man, and no man can complete you, but I can give you some life. I'm right before you. I'm God, and I can minister to you, and you can be satisfied. Amen. How many receiving something today? And so he's led, watch this, he's led by the Spirit of God. Verse 20, our fathers, but here's what I want you to catch. This is so good. Look at verse 20. Our fathers worship on this mountain, and the Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where you ought to worship. Our fathers. Somebody say our fathers. Look at verse 21. Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, an hour is coming when you enter on this mountain, when you will enter on this mountain, nor will in Jerusalem worship the Father. Look at verse 22. But you worship what you do not know. Look at verse 23. But the hour is coming and now is when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeks such as worship him. What's going on? She's about to tell him, oh yeah, let me tell you about what our father, where our fathers worship. Let me tell you about what I learned from my dad. Let me tell you what I learned from my grandpa, my great grandpa. Let me tell you what all the wisdom fathers of the Samaritans taught us. And what Jesus is going to say? Jesus is going to say, at the point of her wrongness, Jesus has the willingness to confront her and saying, listen, I don't care what your dad say. they're wrong. See, we hold on to things that are wrong. We hold on to things in our heritage because we learned it from our dads and our grandpas and our great grandpas and all the Cohens used to say this. Oh, we've got, and they all said the same thing. And we start to hold that up as the truth. And when she does, when she goes there, God says, whoa, we ain't going there, lady. Let me tell you what, they were wrong. Let me tell you what, your daddy was wrong, your granddaddy was wrong, your great-granny daddy was wrong. They're all wrong. Because let me tell you about worshiping. Worshiping isn't about a place. Worshiping is about your heart. That's what he's saying. You know what? We've got to have a willingness. There was a day. When I was a kid, when I was growing up, my father, Pastor George, every summer, he got 3 weeks vacation. And it was cool because We'd go play miniature golf. We didn't have a lot of money, but we had enough money to go to play miniature golf. So we'd go play miniature golf. But on Sunday, we'd go to church. We just wouldn't go to our church. We'd go to some other church. Well, one Sunday, we went to the Hacienda Nazarene Church. I never forget this. Hacienda Nazarene Church. And we went there and we sat there and we listened to the message. We listened to the praise. It was good. The church was good. I'm 14, but it was good. You know what I mean? But at the end of the church, you know what? These people went down front and they started, you know what? They were like, oh, I'm like sitting back there, and they weren't loud, but they were all up front, and they were all facing this way. I was in the back. I'm like, what a hot rabage, what? What are they talking about, man? What's going on? And I remember on the way home asking my come on, somebody help me preach this. Asking my what? I'm asking my parents, hey, what was all that stuff? And they said, oh, yeah, that's speaking in tongues. Oh, that's speaking in tongues. Oh, yeah, that's in the Bible, right? Oh, yeah, that's in the Bible. And I thought, why don't we speak in tongues? And they said, yeah, that's in the Bible. But, you know, that gets all people confused. And it brings division in the church. And we don't want division in the church, so that's why we don't pray in tongues. That's why we don't speak in tongues. You know, I'm 14. Okay. You know, whatever, right? See, thank God. Oh, I learned so many wonderful things from my father. I learned so many wonderful things from my parents. But thank God that I didn't exalt what I learned from my parents above the Word of God. Amen. You know, the Bible says, when you speak in tongues, you build yourself up in your most holy faith. I could pray in tongues for hours. What are you doing, man? I'm building myself up. But you don't even know what you're saying. I don't have to know what I'm saying. The Spirit, the Bible says the Spirit of God is praying directly to His Spirit, and He's praying perfectly. Pastor, are you saying it's wrong to pray in English? I'm not saying that. I'm saying it's good to pray in tongues. That's what I'm saying. Amen. I'm saying it's biblical. I'm saying what the Bible says. You know what? You don't forbid anybody to pray in tongues. Thank God I pray in tongues.
Amen.
It's one of the reasons, you know what? Well, anyway, thank God I pray in tongues. Amen. Yeah, but Pastor, you know, some other fathers say, yeah, but you shouldn't pray in tongues in the church unless there's an interpretation. And only three. That's what the Bible says. Well, we have to put the Bible in contents of who he's speaking to. Speaking to a bunch of people who you could come to the church, the Corinthian church, and guess what? You could listen to the whole service, and all they would do is say, "Oh, Rabab Gigeshiborhan," and this guy's saying that, and that guy's saying this, and this guy's saying, "Oh, did the service start?" You're like, "When did the service start? When's the pastor going to preach?" And all the pastor would say is, "Oh, Rabab Gigeshiborhan," and you're like listening to that for an hour, and then they say, "Oh, okay, time to go. Lunchtime. See you later," and you're walking away, and you're thinking, "Man, I didn't get anything. What? Huh? You don't know. You didn't know what he said." How many glad that I'm going to speak in a language that you can understand and you're going to get something out of the sermon today.
Amen.
Well, Paul is dealing with the church that is just so... They need to come back into love for people. And he's going to set a parameter and say, let me tell you what, in this church, here's what we're going to do. Three, only with an interpretation. You say, how come you know that's not for everybody? Because later on, in the same letter, right in the midst of that, he says, what's the conclusion then? I'll pray in the spirit and I'll pray with my understanding. I'll sing in the spirit and I'll sing with my understanding. And then right after that, he says, talks about the whole congregation. He's talking about the church. Exalt the Lord our God. Exalt the Lord our God. What am I going to do? I'm going to pray in the spirit and I'm going to pray with my understanding. I'm going to sing in the spirit and I'm going to sing in the understanding. Get that right out of the Bible. Aren't you glad that you didn't have the willingness to listen? To not just listen to what other people said, but had a willingness to, that's what God says, to look at it and say, no, let me tell you what, this is the truth. Those who worship God, worship him in spirit and in truth. And then I'm almost done, but you got to see this. Look at verse 4. Look at verse 4 and look what happens. Or chapter 4, look at what happens. These guys, they go get lunch, they go get something to eat, and while they're going to get something to eat, he ministers to her, she gets ministered to, that prophetic really ministers to her, she runs back where she's from, she gets all these guys together and says, you guys got to come over here because I think I found the Messiah. They come back. Look at verse 31. In the meanwhile, the disciples urge him, or look at verse 30. Then they went out to the city, and then they went out of the city and came to him. They were in the city getting food. They come back to Jesus, verse 31. In the meanwhile, his disciples urged him, eat. Because they're like, man, we went all the way 5 miles there, 5 miles back. We got this good food now. Eat it. Jesus says, verse 32, but Jesus said to him, I have food to eat which you do not know. They're like, man, who gave you something to eat? We're walking all the way in, all the way back. Now you said you're full. What's up with that? Verse 34, Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. My will is to minister to people, and I don't care. I don't prejudge people. I don't say, you know what, black people are like this. You know, all Hispanic people are like that. You know, how many times I've heard, you know what, derogatory terms about Asian. All the Chinese are like this. Oh my goodness, gross. All white people are like, listen, let me tell you what his will is. His will was to go there and to teach her that all Jewish people weren't like you think they are. Amen. Listen, guys, I'm glad you got me a tuna fish sandwich, but you know what? While you were gone, I was doing the will of God, and that feeds me. But watch this. It's such a setup. Look at this. Jesus said, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Look at verse 35. But you say, there is still 4 months. I always knew this verse. I've preached on this verse before. But I'm telling you what, this week I put it in content. Who's he saying this to? Come on, somebody help me out. Who's he saying this to? He's talking to the apostles who just left. They're coming back. And who else is coming? The men, come on, somebody help me with this. Who else is coming in? The men, the lady gets the people. She's getting the men. They're coming. Do you see the setup? And it's in that context of these Samaritans who aren't familiar with God to these Jews who know God, but they're not walking in the character of God, and they're coming back, and Jesus is saying, lift to the apostles, lift your heads up and recognize the harvest is right in front of you. They're coming. It doesn't take 240 years for us to root out racism in America. It shouldn't take 240 years. I like what I heard one pastor say. He had somebody, and in this church, you know what? This story was told in this church, you know what? He had a bunch, it was predominantly a Anglo church, a white church. But they were in a culture, in a city where there was all kinds of different cultures, including a black community. And many of those people started coming to the church. And one of the people in the church came up to him and said, Pastor, you know what? You got to do something about this. Because all these black people are coming in. And pretty soon there are going to be more black people than there are white people. Pastor smiled at him and he said, hey, you better get some white people saved. Amen. Amen. The guy said, no, Pastor, I'm serious. If you don't do, you know how those black people are. You know how those Hispanics are. You know how those white people are. You know how the Asian people are. Start categorizing. He said, if you don't do something about it, I'm telling you, I'm going to have to leave. Pastor said, bye. Can I tell you what? It doesn't take 240 years to change this. It doesn't take 2 minutes and 40 seconds to change this. Sometimes we just got to stand up and say, you know what? To people in our same culture, that's wrong. That's wrong. Jesus is saying, you lift up your head. You need to recognize. There was a point in time, and Peter is from a culture, and in his culture,
See, we've got to exalt the Word of God above every other thing. And in his culture, he was taught, you know what, there's certain foods you eat and there's certain foods you don't eat. And he's having his devotional. And he's praying, and all of a sudden he gets a vision from God. And there's this sheet, and on this sheet are all these different, you know what, some, you know, pork chops and some, you know what, and some bacon and eggs and, you know what, and a ham and cheese sandwich. And he's like, no, Lord, I'm not going to eat none of that stuff. That's unclean. And God says to him, don't call unclean what I've called clean. Don't tell me about where you're going to worship. Let me tell you how to worship. Don't tell me about what your fathers were wrong. And they said it's like this. And all of a sudden, we think we're justified. And we couch our righteousness in unrighteousness because our fathers taught us wrongly. And we don't have a willingness to say, you know what, I'm sorry. Grandpa might have even loved Jesus, but in this area, he was wrong. Black people are like this. White people are like that. Those people. Police officers are all like this. This is gross. Come in receiving something from God today. My best friend wrote me this morning. She said, change can't happen in the legislation. The change must happen in our hearts. So we, the church, must be able to talk about this. We must be able to find change without moving to additional social injustice against each other. We must not deal with this through judgments of each other. Disciples, get your heads up. Get your head in the game. And stop thinking that you're all that bag of chips and the Samaritans aren't. Stop thinking that you have a superiority to that group or that group or that group or any other group. Because we are not superior to any other group. To everyone. You know what that means? Can I teach you what that means in the Greek? It means be kind to everyone. With every head bowed and every eyes closed, I don't like to close a service that I don't give you an opportunity to accept Jesus in your heart. You need a lot of things today. But you need Jesus more than anything. And if that's you, I want to say a prayer with you. Right there where you are, say this with me. Just repeat this after me. All I'm going to do is ask Jesus. You're going to ask Jesus into your heart. Just repeat this after me. Jesus, I need you. Come into my heart. I want to make you my Lord. Change me from the inside out. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. And then before we leave, I want to, amen, amen, amen. If you accepted Christ right now, you know what? Tamara and I want to be your pastors. Give us a year. Start coming here every Sunday and every Wednesday. Well, come here Sunday and watch us on the internet Wednesday till we open back up. But be consistent. Watch what will happen in a short period of time. Watch what will happen. Watch how you'll grow, and you'll grow, and you'll grow. And things that are you're having so much trouble with, in 6 months, you'll be like, oh, man, remember when I was like that? You'll laugh. But you come every Sunday and watch what'll happen.
before we dismiss, if you want to accept Jesus, I mean, if you want to say to me, you know what, Pastor, you said something today, and that wasn't for my mama, that wasn't for my daddy, that wasn't for my sister, that wasn't for all my crazy cousins, that was for me. And listen, and don't be shy to go, well, yeah, but he's talking about raising, I'll raise my hand, they'll think, listen, get over yourself, amen? And learn, this is a time with God. If you harden your heart, and every time this happens, you know what, you say, I can't raise my hand, because they'll think, you know what, your heart will go harder and harder and harder, and you won't make any decisions towards God, because you'll just be perfect in your own mind already. If that's you, I want you to raise your hand right now. My hand is the first to be up. Father, you see these hands up, and I don't know what's going on, and it's really none of my business, except to say, Father, you help these people, meet them where they're at. I thank you that any changes that they need to make, they'll be quick to make those changes. And Father, I thank you that we are tender to your spirit. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.